My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, hey now. Aiko, aiko, ande. Giacomo Fino, anane. Giacomo Finane.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling. Hello, welcome to the Las Culturistas podcast. I'm Bowen.
And I am Matt, and you guys, we're on fire today.
Honey, we are flaming.
We are flaming. Bowen and I are so excited tonight. We're going to go see Bad Moms.
With our previous guest of the show, Sudie Green.
Of course, you know Bad Mom. So here's a question. Actually, you know what? I was going to say, who are you out of the Bad Moms?
I guess
we'll have to see the movie first.
I wish I was Kathryn Hahn, but I think I'm probably Mila. No, that's even too. That's
you
like
are
a
Mila.
Up.
In this you're case, Mila. You're Mila. No, I'm Mila and Black Swan, but I think you're Mila.
I'm Mila and Bad Moms. Absolutely.
She's like the type A who like reaches a breaking point.
But she's like sexy too.
Yeah, I think I'm Kathryn Hahn because I'm a mess.
Yeah.
With no hope.
But I hear Kathryn Hahn steals the movie. This is like a vehicle for her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've been waiting for the Kathryn Hahn vehicle. Listen, we could talk about Bad Moms for the next 2 hours.
Absolutely.
But the fact of the matter is we have a guest, and we have he's a hurricane of a guest.
A hurricane of a guest. Let's go through his credits.
Oh, I love the credits. You know, he is the co-creator of Lake Como High.
He's the co-creator of Live on Broadway.
Oh, he just had his solo show, Sam's Big Day.
Oh, excellent solo show. I went to go see it. It was wonderful. He's the co-host, one of the co-hosts of Future Forms.
Yes.
Previously Cube.
Yes.
Wonderful show.
Previously Cube with Mary
Institution in Brooklyn.
Absolutely. And his ascendance is something we love to watch.
His star is rising.
His star is rising. Bitch, and on three, his name be 1, 2, 3, Sam Taggery.
Hello, hi.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
Sam Taggart
with the T. I am so good.
I love it.
I'm truly incredible.
Sam, I mean, what an honor it is to have you. Ooh, our hats are falling
off. So, those of you listening at home, and Sam just found this out because we put it right on his head, mm-hmm. We are rocking out these hats.
Yes, Mom.
Culture hats. We're on a culture expedition. We feel very official in them.
100%.
We're here to scour culture. It's Las Culturistas. Sam is here to help us today. And I mean, there's so much happening in the culture.
Absolutely.
So much.
Sam, before we dive into culture of the current day.
Yeah.
Contemporary culture.
Yeah.
Contemporaneous culture.
Mm-hmm.
We want to ask you, as
modern.
We ask all of our guests. Modern. Absolutely.
Mm, absolutely.
We want to ask you, like we ask all of our guests, what is culture that shaped you?
That's such a good question.
What made Sam Sam?
That's so smart. That particular question I love. Like, that's actually really smart the way that you said that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a way with words.
Yeah, it's really smart way. I would say I was formed pretty heavily by Midwestern suburban culture.
Absolutely. Yeah.
A lot of cheeseburgers in my life, a lot of video games in half finished basements, if you will.
Okay, I have a question. What video games were you into specifically?
You know, I couldn't get enough of like your classics, your Mortal Kombat, your
Mortal
Crash
Kombat.
Bandicoot.
Right.
As I grew up, it was Halo.
Absolutely.
You know,
so you were like, were you a PlayStation kid or an N64 kid?
I was a PlayStation kid.
See, I was not. That's kind of like I was an N64 kid, and I think that does shape the way you are move about your life.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'd say PlayStation people are a little more critical.
I'd say PlayStation people become Republicans.
I'm a PlayStation person, and I am a Republican.
A critical Republican.
So. Critical Republican, yeah, of course.
Critical.
Listen, like, I used to play straight up Mario all the doodah day, and then I feel like I used to like cartoons video games, like Mario, your Donkey Kong. Loved it.
Sure.
And then once video games started to take themselves too seriously, I was like, no, fuck you.
See, that's when I finally got on board.
Okay.
Before, I was like, this monkey's just a little cartoon. No, thank you.
Sure.
Wake me up when there's a whole world to explore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could argue PlayStation much more sophisticated than N64 in terms of themes.
Well, that's an interesting point that Matt just brought up with video games because, I mean, kids nowadays are growing up with, you know, their Overwatches and their
just all these mature games, and it's too ahead of their time. We grew up in a time when video games matched our growth. Like, we grew up around really cartoony, kid-friendly yes. games, and now everything's just rated M for mature.
Yeah.
It's a mess. So I think
rated M for it's a mess.
Rated M for goddamn mess. Can I
but
say?
Bless this mess.
Bless this mess.
Bless and keep
bless
this
all
mess.
These messes. Guys, mm-hmm. what is Halo?
Oh my god.
Do you like it? Do you enjoy
I simply love it.
Oh,
do you
play?
Still play?
So I took a break for a while to pursue comedy, mm-hmm. but I've recently come back to it.
Because you've given up comedy.
Yeah.
You can only do one. You're either a Halo one. Boy or a comedy boy. Mm. You can't be both boy. You can't be
no,
both boy.
God, no. and, okay. you know, I'm always the worst. I play online and I'm always the worst. As of last week, I started replaying video games.
Oh, yeah.
And I get last place, but I have the most fun, I feel.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what? That's a good mental exercise, is playing online when you know you're going to be beat by, like, some 14-year-old kid, but still enjoying it. Because I would go into that situation saying, like, I hate this. I don't like losing, you know?
Well, it's what's your kind of idea of fun? Is it burn the world or is it win the game? I think that's like also a life question.
My idea of fun is being immersed, baby. Like being immersed in the world, honey. That's my idea of fun.
It's like when you play Grand Theft Auto. Are you that person that's like fucking the hookers and killing everyone with your car? Or are you trying to actually like
I'm playing
do
for
whatever
the story.
It is you do when you
See,
do Grand Theft Auto?
I play
Auto.
For the story until like I get bored. Like,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Which is happens. I have like an hour limit, you know?
On story.
On story.
Yeah.
You know, a big long TV show worth, and then yeah. I start doing the hooker stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when in doubt,
hooker.
You pick up the hooker and you listen to them. Fuck. That was like when Grand Theft Auto first came out, it was like my cousin was always like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to find a hooker and we're going to watch the car go up and down and listen to them. Fuck.
It
and I was like,
exciting.
What? And with that same cousin, I watched gay porn.
Nice.
Wait,
when I was 11.
You have to. Okay, go ahead.
Wait, yeah, no. He has to expound upon that.
Well, I have a straight cousin who will remain nameless. But when we were young, I remember like it was my first like experience with pornography, and we definitely watched some straight stuff for a little while, and then he was like, you want to see something really fucked up and gross?
Oh.
And he brought out the gay porn, and it was the first time I like saw with my eyes a dick and an ass.
Wow.
And I was like, what? They do that? Uh-huh. And he was like, yeah, of course they do. That's how they have sex. And I was like, oh my God. And then I guess I had like a boner, because he goes, if you have a boner right now, it means that you're gay. And I was like, I don't have a boner. I assure you I don't. I don't even think I knew what an erection was.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
time.
Sure.
But I vividly remember that. Being very confused as to like why I wanted to keep watching gay porn and being shocked when I saw like what gay sex really was.
I think it's very telling that he like was eager to introduce it to you.
But he's playing the game to burn the world, not win the game.
With porn?
Sometimes. That's how people live their lives, is what I'm saying.
What is he still straight, bitch?
Yes. He has a lovely girlfriend.
Yeah, but like, does he know?
Honestly, no. I really don't think so. I'm pretty positive.
Mm.
No. I think it was just a thing of like, we're looking at stuff on the internet because the internet's new, baby. It's 2001.
That was like part of being a young boy is, you know, pulling up gay porn and going like, this sucks.
Yeah, for sure.
Look how fucking gross this is.
Especially when you grow up where I grew up, which is like Long Island, where you hate everything.
Yeah.
That's not
I feel like
sports.
That's like in the same world. It's the same instinct as like showing each other. Do you guys have a friend who you would show each other your dicks to?
Well, my gay friend.
No, I mean, but are they gay? I mean, like, did you grow up, like, growing up, you like, is he gay? Are these friends gay now?
Yeah.
Cool. That's cool.
I showed my dick to my two friends at lunch in second grade.
Wow.
Nice.
Because they were like, show it to us. You're right. It's not a gay thing at all. It's like a little boy thing. It's like, we have dicks.
Yeah. It's just a boy thing.
Sure.
You're just excited about having a dick and what it could be.
Yeah.
But wow. Even like as like a 9-year-old, I want to say, showing like me and this kid going into the basement while our parents talked upstairs and like showing each other our dicks and just like rubbing them against one another. I was like,
seriously?
9 years old.
No.
But I was like, I obviously didn't have the hormones to be like, oh, this is hot. I like this. But I was like, this is fun.
It feels good.
It feels good.
I also, well, I remember I had a really close friend when I was in middle school, I was really positive that we were going to hook up.
Wow.
But we were best friends. We'd have like sleepover in the same room, and I was like, "What is happening?" But then we were just best friends. I think that like there are some like truly, truly good straight male souls out there who truly just want to befriend good people and don't see us as bodies.
I mean, okay, that is a boy sleepover thing, though. Even in like the sixth grade, we would all take off our clothes and run out in the yard naked.
Yeah, boy sleepovers were so sexy.
Very hot. Sure.
There
for
was
sure.
a lot going on.
Because let me tell you, nothing's hotter than a than when you're a 12-year-old boy around a bunch of 12-year-old boys.
I
went to Frost Valley on a field trip and a kid sat on my face.
What?
What's like, Frost Valley?
And he was like, oh, I'm sitting Frost on Matt's Valley? Face.
Okay. Yeah, you can't throw out names like Frost Valley and
Frost Valley right, has the potential to be a new gay mecca.
Honestly,
with a name like
we
that.
Literally,
if
well,
we
there
were to go
gay
up,
Fire Island.
Okay, I mean, so what it was, it should be. I need to go to Fire Island for the first fucking time. The gay part, anyway. I've only been to the straight part of Fire Island, which I know is like heinous.
Yeah, I'm gonna kill myself after hearing that.
Let me. Yes, but we should at first make sure everyone at home knows that Bowen and Sam are Fire Island connoisseurs.
I mean,
celebrities even of the lifestyle.
Celebrities.
I would say.
My kimono was a hit in the
You
pines.
Wore a kimono?
I wore my kimono
It's like
the
you
entire
didn't even
time.
See any of the Facebook or Instagram
I was honestly
posts.
Probably too mad that I was missing out. I was like, fuck this.
Sam's going in August, and I'm going to go in for a day trip. Come with
You should come.
Come with me.
I will definitely do a day.
Please.
I'll definitely do
yeah,
a day.
It's so fun. It's heaven.
I want to go. I mean, I want to go.
Not even sexually. It's like
I don't
it's
care
heaven
about
on
that.
Earth.
It's heaven on earth. It's just you feel so safe and so it's beautiful.
Also, I would love to go to P-Town. Have you been to P-Town?
No.
See, David Mazzoni says it's like Disney World. We literally the three of us went to Disney World and we're walking down Main Street USA and David Mazzoni goes, "This is just like P-Town." I was like, "Go fuck yourself."
Oh my god, nothing can compare to Disney World.
Oh man.
Wait, is Disney World really gay? Is this a
Well, of course it is.
It's so gay. Gay days? We should go for gay days.
I would love... There was nothing, literally nothing. If I achieve this, I'll feel like I could die. Is if every gay person I know
went to
gay
days.
Day
It'd be
Disney
so
World.
Fun. So fucking fun.
Sam's like less excited.
I don't know. Make the event.
You know what?
We will.
Put it on Facebook and we'll see what's up. Wait, can I
event.
Tell you guys what Frost Valley was?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so Frost Valley was like... When you got to sixth grade, this was like the field trip that my middle school went on. It was 3 days, a sleepaway field trip at this like excursion camp at upstate New York. Basically, it was like a project adventure course that was huge. It was basically every day you went out into the like cold wilderness and like did activities and did team building stuff.
This
and
is
like
sexy.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was – it got there.
Yeah.
Because, of course, like...
What grade was this?
Sixth grade, which is just when you've been like, oh, wait, we are sexual.
Yeah.
It's like...
You have a lot of energy.
It's like when it's when you jack off, it's not a mistake anymore. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
It's like,
it was still a mistake.
Right.
So did things get steamy with you and someone else? A girl?
Well,
even?
I actually was like... courting a female at the time who was in like one of the other bunks and I was like, oh man, she's dating my friend Joey, and that girl ends up she's a lesbian now.
Great. Love it.
Which I is love
the
that
the
ending.
Best end to any story, I think. if every story doesn't end with and turns out she's a lesbian now, I really don't care about what you said.
And Joey must be asexual just for symmetry.
He's engaged to a woman.
Okay.
But Joey. I will say, like, yeah, it got crazy. Like, there comes a point when boys that age are around each other and it reaches a fever pitch where they have to, like, sexually show something. I remember a kid fucking sat on my face.
Wait,
and was like,
that.
Ah!
Okay, what
was he wearing?
Was
his boxers. And I remember going, like, dizzy. I was like, what's happening to me?
Okay, but you enjoyed it? Because I don't enjoy just
I feel
someone
like
sitting
primally,
on my face.
I think, yes, I did. But, like, at the time, I was like, no, this kid is definitely bullying me.
Right.
Yeah. That's mean.
It was like, I was in bed, and he was like, I heard, like, giggling around me, and then some kid was fucking sitting on my face all of a sudden.
Oh, God.
So you were asleep, and he just, like...
And I think he was like, suck my dick, and everyone was laughing, and I was like, oh, God.
Oh, boy.
And then, honestly, it was fine, like, 15 minutes later, and they all moved on. But, like, that's the way the boys that age act. Like, it is, like, a thing.
Like, it is really funny for him to chant, suck my dick at that age, but I wish... I hope that in the future, people in that generation, kids in that generation, kids in that the future generations will laugh at that for the right reasons and laugh at that because it's like, gay sex is funny, like, but not mockable.
Or they'll just suck each other's dicks because they want to and they're empowered and they're gay and being gay is normalized.
Or they're just like comfortable with their own bodies and they want to explore. Absolutely.
Yes. I love it.
I think that's so powerful.
I think that what we're doing is a service.
Yes.
I think all the little 11-year-old gays listening to this who really look up to Bowen.
Yes. Shout out to Chad. Shout out to Trevor.
Shout out to Alphonse.
Shout out to Unique.
Unique. I love Unique.
I love Unique.
Unique is, he's 11. He and lives in Queens.
He's a fashion icon.
He's a complete icon. He's literally, actually, this is a fact, his body is more scarf than human.
Oh, I love. It's fused.
This person isn't real, to be clear.
I hope there is, I'm sure there is some like Big Brother thing for gays. And I would 100% do that.
Big gay, little gay?
Big gay, little gay. I would love to like mentor a little gay boy.
Same. I would enjoy that.
Would you want to do that, Sam?
I mean, for sure. But I feel like it's hard because you don't know, like when you're like 13, you're like, am I gay or just like super horny and weird?
Sure.
Like,
that's why I'm doubting those little boys now, the little queer boys who are voguing. I'm like, but maybe this is a phase.
It could very well be a phase. Or maybe people just aren't, honestly, this is sometimes the way I feel about it. People don't really care about like putting a label on their sexuality anymore, and they're just being the way they are. And maybe if there were no societal expectations and there were no gender limitations and there were no like bullshit, people would just be voguing because voguing's great.
Yes.
Okay, that was smart.
Okay, that was beautiful.
I'm really smart and beautiful.
You should have said that at the DNC.
I should have.
That was DNC.
What did you say at the DNC?
They turned two people away from speaking. Me and Nina Turner.
Ugh. Nina.
Babe.
Who is Nina Turner?
That is a problematic question. You need to get woke.
Who is Nina Turner?
I don't know who Nina Turner
is the senator who was like advocating for Bernie, and she was slated to speak at the DNC to kind of like tell everyone what the truth was and like
get everyone the business.
And then basically, you know, she was not allowed to speak. She was directed away.
Well, that sucks that she was silenced despite, you know, even though she, as a Bernie supporter, as a Hillary supporter, I look down on her. But I want to say the woman who slammed the gavel on the first night, she's the mayor of Baltimore. And she made that, she like had that gif-able moment where she like made a face before she slammed the gavel. I was on her Instagram. Guess what she's obsessed with?
What?
Pokemon Drag Race. I wish Pokemon Go, but she loves drag. She's like, she took a picture and she posted and she's like, look, she's like, I've been watching Drag Race too much. Look at me. I'm giving you Alyssa Edwards. And I was like,
she said the words, I'm giving you Alyssa Edwards.
And she tagged Alyssa Edwards and she was like, the mayor of Baltimore. Can you imagine? The female black mayor of Baltimore loves Drag Race. I'm like, you're the fucking dream. Anyway.
See, and everyone would if society didn't tell straight men not to.
Sure.
Everyone would love RuPaul's Drag Race because it's the best.
It's the best. Sam still hasn't gotten on it.
Oh, man.
I just haven't. I didn't come here to be publicly shamed.
Well, that's literally what we do here.
Okay, video games and burgers.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds pretty right to me.
I love it.
Yeah.
What state was your upbringing?
It was all around the Midwest and a little in the South. I moved every 2 to 3 years.
Really?
Did
you ever tell me why?
My dad just got a lot of different jobs. He kept moving jobs.
Great.
And would be like, this is the last time we're going to move. And then 2 years later, he'd be like, we're moving.
Oh, shit.
I had this thought. I was with my family this weekend, and then we were just like looking at our old houses on Google Maps and like doing Street View, and it was like a weird moment. But then I realized, like, I was like, oh, yeah, us moving a lot, like, was... It forced us to like really adjust to different social situations. Uh-huh. And I think it's valuable. I think it helped. Yeah. Do you think it helped you?
I think it helped, but almost in like a psycho way. Like I feel very almost like a little impersonal. Like I just say what needs to be said to like just like have people like me enough.
Yeah, you know? Don't worry about that at all here. Say
whatever.
No, but
I think that's really interesting.
Yeah,
it is. Actually, I had this conversation today because my 10-year-old cousin has to move to another house, and he's really upset. And I moved when I was 9, and I actually think it was a good thing for me.
I don't know.
I mean, I can't speak to moving like fucking 8 or 9 times. Like that sounds like that was really hard, but. Moving one time, I actually think was good because it did put you in a situation where like, okay, you know, you gotta like figure it out again.
Yeah.
Like, and that's good for a kid, I think.
Yeah.
I think so too.
For me, it was so easy to manipulate the situation. Like by like the fifth move, you're like, okay, just wear a cool shirt. Like, talk to this kid who's like an asshole who you're not gonna like in a year, but he'll like make it so you don't get bullied.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of go. You just figured out how to play the game.
Right.
Really
easily. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
And what you didn't mention is that you had a different name at every school.
Sure.
What we don't know about Sam is that his name is really Oscar Herrera. And he...
It's all true.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that about me.
That you're really Oscar Herrera.
Oscar?
It's me, Oscar Herrera.
The thing is, he had to change his name because he couldn't say it right.
He couldn't say it.
He couldn't, like...
Oscar Herrera was the first move. And then he learned his last name. He's like, oh, I should be able to pronounce my own name.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. That's... I honestly hadn't really thought through the video game thing and about how it shaped me, and I'm happy that I did.
Well, listen, you know what video games shaped me were Final Fantasy games.
I was going to ask about that one, too. That one's very narrative, right?
It's completely narrative, which is
why
I loved
it. It's like a movie that you play.
It's like a 40-hour-long movie. Mm. It's the best. So I, you know, and now they're a little... They haven't aged well, so if you go back and play them now, you're not going to like them, I think.
Which part? Why hasn't it aged well?
Because it's just the storytelling conventions are very melodramatic. But it might be fun. As long as you know it's a product of the times and you like play them again and you're like, oh, this is very 90s. Like this emotion.
Melodrama is the best, though. Melodrama is in.
But even if you play it now, it's like it's crazy paced. It's like, oh, fuck, like someone's mom died within the first like 5 hours, which is like short. It's just like it's very quick. So anyway, Final Fantasy shaped me. That's just my two cents.
People's mom die in that thing?
Like characters die and like love interests die. It's dramatic.
So, based on what you
what's
do,
that? PlayStation. They're playing with dark themes.
PlayStation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Republicans critical.
Yeah,
absolutely
dark,
dark mama.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd rather just like hop on a fucking
box.
Hop on a box and get grown real big and be in Big Mario for like 15 seconds and be able to kill lots of things and like become small again. That makes sense to me.
That checks out.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a time and a place, but you got to grow up sometime.
Absolutely. I'm happy that actually, you know what? I did play a lot of first person shooters when I was little. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Now I'm really kind of grossed out by them, but I did. I was all about that GoldenEye shit.
Yeah.
I loved that game.
Loved
it. I knew, but I still remember some like facts about automatic weapons I shouldn't know. Like, because that game like taught me about it. It was really...
Our babysitter, our nanny let us play it. So anyway, Sam, I feel like music is a big part of your
formative
of course. Culture.
Okay, well... as everyone does, I had cool cousins, right?
Uh-huh.
That would come to town and be very judgmental of the fact that I enjoyed maybe Backstreet Boys.
Mm.
And so these cool cousins, they, you know, at a very young age were like, but have you heard of Modest Mouse? And so then I was like, I'm going to out-cool these cool cousins. So I made it my, like, passion to learn, like, cool music.
Yes.
To, like,
got it.
Yes.
So that the next time they would come, I would be like, I actually have every Modest Mouse album. I am the coolest 11-year-old.
Oh, man. That was such a thing, too, like, when you were that age and, like, you were asked what your favorite music act was and you really wanted to respond with, like, Backstreet Boys or, like, Christina Aguilera. Ooh. And then someone looked over when you'd be like, what did you say? And you just cross it out frantically, right? Like, I meant Limp Bizkit. Like, because Limp Bizkit, I remember, was, like, the coolest thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Ugh.
I feel like I'm still, you know, constantly torn between your pop hits and your coolness.
But even for you, you have very discriminating taste when it comes to pop hits.
Yeah, I either love it or hate it.
Talk about this, because you're talking to the right, this is perfect.
Sure.
Well, we know Sam's number one right now is Ariana.
Oh, yeah, love Ariana Grande. Love everything
she
does.
She's so good. I listened to the song Into You probably 5 or 6 times
a day. Mm-hmm. You were the first. You posted it on my wall and you're like, I'm calling it now, a song of the summer.
Yes.
And at first I was like, I'm not sure. And now I think you're 100% correct.
Oh yeah. I mean, well, the first time I heard it, I was like, see, this is a song that I can just picture really everyone I know like
loving,
getting their life to it, really enjoying.
It's so much, that song.
That song gives me 2003 era Christina Aguilera vibes.
That's yes. And I love, my favorite part of it is, before I make a move.
I'm just like, come on, bitch. Like, you are crazy. You're teased.
Like, you better come to me before I come to you. Wow. Because if I come to you,
you're going to, your dick's going to be real, like, butter. Like, what?
I don't know.
I kind of like, wow. No,
I kind of like turned
you
to
built
sand.
That up.
I turned to sand at the end there.
And turned to what? To sand.
I turned to sand.
Absolutely. Sure. Ariana.
Sure. Ariana, I love. But like, hate. It's more based on the person and the personality than the actual
that's
quality
totally
of the song.
That's totally inbound. Oh, okay. What do you hate?
Demi Lovato. Like. Who even is she? She's just like
that's
a woman.
The whole point My. Is that she's no one.
She Got should it. Like be a cashier at like some fucking shoe store.
You, oh my you, god!
You are literally.
You gotta go, guys. It's been really fun with them, Tiger.
Oh my
no,
god.
Honestly, wait. Can I make a case?
I feel
for
so
her?
Bad for her. Yeah, make a case for her.
Don't feel bad for her.
You should. She's fucking pitiful.
No. She's empowered and confident and has a fucking amazing voice and looks great. And she's been through so much and she speaks to those issues.
She's not going to sound good in like 2 years, though. We've talked
about
this.
Starting a year ago.
She's just had to do so many image changes and nothing ever sticks. That's I like her. So Matt and I obviously like Demi Lovato, but I can acknowledge that she's just... nothing stuck yet for her, you know, and that's her issue. That's her problem.
I think that things have stuck. I think Cool for the Summer is the shit.
Yeah, but it's like you're like who's like I feel like everyone's just like, oh, that song that I don't know who it sings it.
Oh,
you know.
So that's what you're like, saying is you want to know exactly the identity of what you're hearing and who the person is the second you hear the tone of the voice. I get that. No, I really get that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, sort of, kind of like. Push her off a bridge, but like Katy yeah. Perry, the second you hear her voice, you're like, oh, it's Katy Perry.
Yeah.
That's Katy Perry. This is a Katy Perry song.
Right. I feel like Demi just doesn't have that sense of identity yet.
People would argue that Demi is this generation's Kelly Clarkson. People. And that you could just listen to it and you'd just be like, who?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And that they're not distinct.
But you know, Kelly, this is Kelly's oeuvre. She's the treadmill queen. You've said this.
She is the queen.
What does that mean?
That means like
it just means like she always puts out a song that's going to make 35 to 40 year old women that are just like a little overweight and have two kids be like, you know what? I'm getting back on the treadmill. I'm going to do it, Beth. I'm going to do it.
Wow.
I'm getting back on the mill. Because guess what?
I am
I have
invincible.
One life and I am invincible and I'm going to be stronger. Okay.
I'll show you what's behind these hazel eyes.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
A beautiful body.
A beautiful body. I am Miss behind Independent. That's me. She's singing to me, I feel.
There you go. See, that's Kelly. So you can nail that down with Kelly. With Demi, like, besides Cool for the Summer, I feel like you
she's
can't.
The bisexual queen of the fucking Miami.
Okay, every fucking pop star is bisexual.
Truly, when I hear Demi Lovato, I think of, like, I truly just, her most iconic thing is her Skechers ads, right?
No!
I have not seen.
She is permanently, like, on a bus stop, like, with her shoe out, with, like, stupid. Purple pink lines behind her.
Yes. Wow. That's so
I hate this. Like a skyscraper.
Oh, see, if she had like stuck to her guns with that era.
What
era?
What? That was when she wasn't specific.
A skyscraper. I mean, you know what? Her album Demi, where she had Really Don't Care, she had what was that called? Heart Attack.
Don't wanna break, wanna get my heart to break.
But that's her.
Did you hear Bowen jump on the harmony
good
there?
Harmony.
That was beautiful.
Ugh, beautiful. I mean, like, look, she's just been all over the map, and I feel like she's not at that level yet. She needs to establish first and then branch out. You know?
Agree to disagree.
Quiz me on someone else.
Okay. Selena Gomez.
Hater.
No.
Yeah, thank you.
Fucking horrible.
Now
yeah,
we can move
garbage.
On. We can move on.
Okay, wait. Let's
I started making a Selena Gomez joke on the ride.
What is it?
So for those of you who don't know at home, I am a tour ghost.
I'm
a tour ghost. Ooh. I'm a tour guide host. I'm a tour guide host, and it's a bus that goes to New York City, and like we get to the Chrysler Building, and
yes.
The Chrysler Building was built at four floors per week.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, World Trade Center was built on only one floor per week.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, oh, I wonder why we build things so much slower now. I mean, we have great technology. We have high-speed internet. We can make Selena Gomez a star.
Wow.
It has been going, like,
okay.
That's fun. I mean, it's so specific.
It's good because it's you. It's very on brand for you.
And which so your audience is like tourists, right?
My audience is like 55-year-old men on a business trip from Texas who look at me and are like, what?
Yeah, half of them are like, who's Selena Gomez? And the other half are like, I think she's super talented.
Yeah. Because, what do you mean? She seems like a nice girl.
Yeah, I have no discerning taste.
She seems like a nice kid, that Selena Gomez. Titties out. She seems like a really good kid.
Wow.
She's got a good kid.
We've seen Matt's range on this episode.
Yeah, I think he's sending this to some agents for sure.
I have William Morris listening. I have Gersh listening.
Gersh is listening.
Have, you know, all my people.
UTA.
At UTA listening.
I had a UTI.
Shout out.
Damn.
Shout out to CAA. Yeah, really, everyone listening. I'll take calls.
I mean, they are listening. Absolutely,
they're so listening.
I'm trying to think of other pop stars. Oh, you just started getting on board with Carly Rae.
Yeah, so she is an example of
queen.
You know, her talent just really won over
me.
Mm-hmm. Because it's like she is also like she would be like. She would be Demi Lovato's manager at the shoe store. Like, oh, she's not as bad, but she's like,
she comes in like, Demi, did you clock in?
And Demi's like, oh no, I forgot.
Demi, this is the third time you haven't clocked in. Payroll's done by a computer, not by me. I can't keep catching these things.
Yeah, it won't happen again.
It better not. I'm going back to my office to
guys, let's
smoke a cigarette inside.
I want to staff this shoe store. I think
let's staff it. Carly Rae Jepsen is the manager of the shoe store, who's like a little checked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She works like 3 days a week.
I think Kelly Clarkson might be the owner.
Kelly Clarkson is the owner that's rarely there.
Yeah.
She's like, oh my God, this is my store. And she comes in with her kids and they're running all around. And Ariana Grande is like the pissed off girl who works at the front desk. That's like, oh my God.
Who's about to make it big.
Who's about to like succeed in like her chosen career. And this for her is just like a means to an end.
Yeah. Gwen Stefani is like the wealthy, rich, like
customer.
Jobless customer who comes in.
She's like, I don't know. My husband's at work. I had nothing to do. I thought I'd pop into the shoe store.
I love this.
Lady Gaga is a box of shoes.
Yes. Katy Perry is the woman who keeps coming in with like looking for like the restaurant next door. Where is it? I'm sorry. I keep fucking up. I'll find it. She comes back in 10 minutes later. I'm sorry. I'm lost. Where is it?
You know who like was about to like make it big? Like everyone was like banking on her to make it big. Betty Who. And then she.
I love Betty Who.
Wait, I have no idea who that is.
Somebody loves.
She's the one who's not in the store.
She's the one who's not in the store. She got rejected. I think she was going to make it big, and she had that big hit song, and then she came out with an album, and then it just tanked.
Whatever. Making it big is nothing. Life's a farce. Listen. Listen to Betty Who's album, and you like Betty Who, and then you'll get what we're talking about. Who cares that she's not, like, commercially successful? It's fucking Trump's America.
Wow. I love it.
I'm so smart and beautiful.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Matt's gotten very political.
It's really cool.
I'm a political voice. I'm a viral political voice.
Yes.
So that's the deal.
Guys, check out at Donald Gay Trump.
Oh,
on
check
Twitter.
Out
Donald J. Gay Trump.
There's no J in it, is there?
In the handle, there's a... Because honestly, Donald Gay Trump was already taken, which I was like, touche.
Yeah.
So I had to be Donald J. Gay Trump, which I actually like a little better.
It's fine.
I love that he's so obviously to everyone in America, Donald Trump. But his handle is Donald J. Trump. And he's running for president as Donald J. Trump. Like, you're Donald Trump, dude.
Can I say something, like, kind of crazy?
No.
My brother-in-law, before he dropped me off at the airport this morning. This is good. He was just like, he works in media. He was like,
I was so scared. You were about to say, like, and then he said, I love Trump.
No. He, like, is, like, very sort of, like, news savvy, media savvy. And he was telling me.
So, obviously, Jill Stein.
No. So, he was telling me how there's this theory out with a lot of like sort of media like insiders that Donald Trump's been canceling all these like outreach events, but he's still been doing his rallies. And at all of his rallies in the last week post DNC, he's been like, the election's rigged. He keeps saying that it's rigged. And then he attacks the fire marshals at each of the stops he's at for each town. And he's like, because the fire marshals cut off the number of attendees for each rally because of obvious safety reasons. And Donald Trump's going crazy, and he's like, the fire marshals are in cahoots with the local Democrats. They're trying to like limit the people who can see me, blah, 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 blah. The election's rigged. Look, all the Democrats are working against me. And so
the
whole establishment's working against him. And so he's saying that, so the theory out there is that he's going to quit, that he's going to bail on the entire fucking election. And he's been like saying how the debates are rigged or whatever. He's like, they're on the same night as NFL games. No one's going to watch. It's rigged. So the theory out there is he's going to fucking drop out of the fucking race before like even the first debate.
What will happen then? Our producer Joe just cracked up.
I don't know, because it's never fucking happened before.
I mean, there's got to be a system in place.
What do we go
like?
Do
Mike,
we,
and
do
Mike
we get
Pence?
Pence?
I mean, then it's great. Then it's a fucking.
I mean,
shooter.
then it's a fucking sleigh.
Yeah, but like, I don't. Isn't that crazy?
That's yeah, so it confusing. Is crazy. Honestly, the more and more I think about it, the more it makes sense to me, because I don't know where it's going now. Like, it can't. I feel like it's been so weird,
yeah,
that it can't possibly like go to, like it can't end in a normal way.
No, not
you
at all.
Yeah, I mean?
Definitely not.
Like, and so, and this is, and him quitting would also help him save face,
sure,
from losing, like from being beaten.
Because he doesn't like to lose. I thought about that.
Yeah, he's not. He'd rather quit than lose.
I think he would have seen not nailing it in the Republican primaries as being like not a loss, but if he directly loses to Hillary Clinton, there's no buts about
he's
it. That's a loss.
Explode.
Like, and he that's his biggest insult is loser.
Yes. And then I asked my brother-in-law, I was like, well, what is he going to do? Like, that's what I'm worried about. And he's like, oh, he's probably going to go with Roger Ailes and start like a news network, like Trump TV or some shit.
Ugh.
And he's like the fucking face of it, which is, of course that's going to happen.
Absolutely what he's going to do.
Yeah. Right? Honestly, I would so much rather that, because then at least we can have like a network that we all know is like truly garbage.
Yeah.
I mean, besides having like Fox News, yeah, yeah, which we all
and
know.
TLC.
And TLC.
And
it's truly
QVC.
Garbage.
Fuck QVC.
Fuck TLC. Do you not like QVC?
Do you not like?
I don't like.
You don't like? You don't like? Hello? You don't like? Hello? You don't like QVC?
Oh, no.
He's trying to get a character. Let him.
You don't like QVC?
CAA, ooh, right? Are you
CAA?
Listening?
Look at this range. CCAA, I really wanted to do this for you guys, because I know that you guys like that edgy thing. Like, you guys rep, you know, Anne Hathaway.
Do they?
The edgiest
probably.
Face
so
in
edgy. Oh, my God. I love Anne Hathaway. So edgy.
Love the edge.
She's got the edge. You know, she cut her hair short.
Super
edgy.
So edgy.
Super edgy. You know, whenever an actress cuts her hair short, I just sit back and I say, there's the edge. There's the edge. She's showing
falls.
Her edge. One tear, a single tear rolls down the center of my face. Like Demi Moore in Ghost. Or should I say, sorry, Demi Moore.
I can't get to the bottom of what the right way to pronounce her name
it's
is.
It's Demi.
Demi.
I think it's Demi, and that's different from Demi Lovato. Of course.
Demi Lovato.
The two most famous Demis.
Wow. Put
name
together,
a more famous Demi.
Demi. Wow, you're right.
I think we need Demi Lovato and Demi Moore in a movie together called Demi. Demi.
Oh, I love it. Let's do it.
That's
I'm pitching.
So
I'll pitch it to Gersh, who's listening.
Maybe like, I was trying to think of some, like it would be like Dias, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like they both play gods.
They both play gods. Dias.
Dias.
Dias. Dias.
I like it. Or Dias de los Muertes, and it's like it's like the two Demis like out on the Halloween.
On the Halloween.
On the Halloween. On the Halloween.
What are you guys gonna be?
Oh my God, that's a great question. It's coming up.
Well, you know what? You know what?
It's literally around the corner.
It's around the corner.
Yeah, like the biggest event of the season.
I'm coming back from China the 30th, so I have a day to get. I'm there for 2 weeks, and then I have to get a costume together. I'll buy something in China.
Yeah, get something in China.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Gosh.
What are you going to be? What are you guys going to be?
I don't know. Every year I just use it as an excuse to dress up like a full woman.
Sure.
That's great. You don't need an excuse.
Well, right. This one needs an excuse.
Just so William Morris, I'm totally into playing all different kinds of roles. Like, put me out for comedy, drama, male women.
Wait, which woman did you play last year for Halloween?
last year, I was Dolly Parton's busted cousin.
Yes.
Sure.
And the year before, I was just like an early version of my character from Broadway Aunt's, Katrina.
Yes. But she was like the sexy secretary.
She was like a sexy secretary at the work office party. She's like, I'm letting loose tonight.
That sounds fun.
That's great.
That's like the character.
Sam, you did drag last Halloween.
I did drag last Halloween.
What
I
were
was
you?
Ariana Grande.
She's Ariana.
I loved. Did you have the pony?
High
pony.
I looked so bad.
No, like, you looked so good.
Oh, you probably looked snatched.
I looked like more like a Mortal Kombat character than Ariana Grande. I looked like a monster. Like,
but you loved it.
It was fun, but I was like, I thought to be a woman, all you had to do was have long hair.
Yeah. No, there's so much more to being a woman than long hair.
I had long hair and a dress, and I just looked like... Like, turns out I'm like beefy, and I had no idea.
Yeah, it turns out it's no. I think for you, it's the jaw. You have a square jaw,
sure.
So I think as long as you like contour around the jaw, then you'll pass.
It was disgusting. I looked like a monster.
But you were. I mean, it was a hit on Instagram.
Sure, it got a lot of likes. But I think because we were like, that's so bad. Yeah, I can find this. Sam,
find it. I want to know. Did you guys ever do when you were younger, like? The hot kind of dude costumes, like, because I used to do like, I'm your husband that's having an affair at work. I'm Jason Stackhouse. What? One year I was like a sexy nerd in like high school.
Oh, well,
college.
You were Stack. You were Jason Stackhouse the year that I was Ash Ketchum.
Which honestly, that's like a porn. That's like a good porno,
like True Blood Pokemon porn.
This is not the best picture, but this is the Instagram.
This
picture.
Is the Instagram picture. I mean, look at
it.
Him.
Doesn't look bad. Oh my God, you look like Amy Schumer.
Yeah. Oh no.
Sorry.
Oh my God.
That's look at that. So funny.
It's so good. You've got the
you
boots.
Do look like her though.
You nailed it.
I looked monstrous.
You look good. Joe, take a look.
Yeah, Joe, take a look. Producer Joe. He nods in approval.
Thank you.
Sam, let's talk about you. You know?
I would love.
Sam,
did you guys come up with the idea for to do Live on Broadway?
So it was Sam's idea, and then Sam came to me and was like, "Let's, can you help me do this?" And I was like, "Yes." And then we just like we went to Dos Toros one day, mm-hmm. had dinner.
Where all creatives go to really stir it up.
Yep, yeah, yep. Truly. You just feel open and creative there.
I think I have had a meeting there.
It's great.
I mean, you have to.
I think we should go back, Sam. Well, all three of us should go back just to honor it and reflect and see what inspires us.
So just so you guys don't know, maybe you don't know, if you've been living under a fucking rock, honestly. So Live on Broadway is Bowen and Sam restaging episodes traditionally of Sex and the City. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys are beholden to that, but it's a restaging of episodes of classic gay ass shows. So far it's just been Sex and the City. Who knows if it'll move on to
we'll
other
see.
Things
we'll
but
see.
It's been a true hit with Sex and the City.
Matt's
we've
been
the,
in it.
I've been in it as Trey. And it's got Brandon Scott Jones as Carrie, Julio as Miranda, Sam plays Charlotte,
Joel Kim Booster
plays Samantha in a performance that can only be described as slutty.
I mean, all four, the core four, those recastings are, I think we nailed it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've never met a bigger slut than Joel Kim Booster.
That is so true.
That's so true.
Yeah, I feel like it's very good.
It's a good show. Sam and I are proud of it.
Oh, yeah, fun. No, it's great. I mean, everyone should. Is there another one on the books?
We'll see.
Yes. Well, not on the books, but like.
But have you guys at least picked an episode that you like?
We've had a kickoff meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a kickoff meeting.
At Jimmy's in Greenpoint.
See, there was your mistake. It should have been at Dos Toros. See, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's
exactly.
What I say.
You're right.
We just, you know, need to send that email.
Can you guys say what episode you're thinking of doing?
Ooh.
Or is that
I feel like that gives away a lot.
All right.
It's not a point of contention.
No.
The episode itself is a point of contention.
Yeah, we're not sure.
Can I tell you what my favorite episode of the show is just to say that?
Yes.
My favorite episode of Sex and the City is the one that follows the Post-it.
Oh, after Burger breaks up with
After her. Burger breaks up with Carrie with the Post-it. I'm sorry, I can't, don't hate me. And she knocks it off the table. The episode after that.
What happens in it?
Okay, I actually, now I'm drawing a blank about what happens in the
episode. Sure, but it's a good episode.
But it's really good. I just remember like watching that last scene and being like, holy shit, I got to watch the next one. And then next one being really good. Also, there's an episode called My Mother Bored Myself, which is a little serious.
It's serious.
Miranda's mom passes away.
Oh.
But it's a really good episode.
And Carrie gets her computer fixed. Yeah. Sam and I watched that episode for the last Broadway because we were still like, it was in the running and we were like, it's too much.
It's so dramatic.
It's very dramatic.
It's
good.
Very good ep, but it's like, it would be hard to be like, it's funny.
Right.
Yeah.
And but no, this is a real point of contention. Sam refuses to do any episode with Berger in it.
I have a ban on Berger episodes.
Why? You hate Berger.
I hate
Yeah, I mean,
Berger.
He was the full worst.
But is it you hate Berger that you hate that actor, what's his name?
Ron
Livingston.
Yeah. I'm fine with Ron.
He's hot.
If he's
hot,
listening.
Hey, Ron.
Well, like, Ron's actually with Gersh, who's listening right now. No shade, Gersh.
You hate Berger.
His character is that he is nothing. Like,
which is hilarious.
It's the most boring. Like, he just like goes with it and then like freaks out for no reason.
Yeah.
And then it's just like him. Anything they try to give him, he's the Demi Lovato of love interest in Sex and the City. He is just like
she only liked him because he was like pithy and passably attractive.
Yeah.
Which
is
like not enough of a reason.
And he rode a motorcycle.
And she was like obsessed with him.
Yeah,
was like,
she was.
This isn't a Big or an Aiden.
No way.
This is no The Russian.
It's no Petrov. Yeah.
I think Aiden was the one.
I love Aiden. I'm an Aiden guy.
I'm a big head.
Really?
That's why it works. You know,
that's why it works.
I don't get.
They both
Carrie
have representation.
I really don't. I really don't get them together.
Big
and Carrie. I don't understand.
You know what? You know what happened with Big? And this is like unfortunately sort of sexist. This only happens with men. But he got hot as the show progressed, and then he was super hot in the movies.
I don't agree. I think Big has always been trash.
Oh, he was so
sexy. I think Chris
knows
it looks like trash.
No,
he's
so handsome.
So hot in the show. I feel like in the second movie, he looked terrible.
And he was barely in it. But in the first movie,
he looked good.
When they're lying in bed together and he has his shirt unbuttoned and his chest is showing, it's like such a good chest.
Yeah.
Ugh. To me, it's all about, honestly, I was thinking, I loved almost all the guys that Samantha fucked. I was like, yep, that's the hottest guy ever. That's the hottest guy ever. That's the hottest guy ever. Everyone she fucked, I was like, yep, she nailed it yet again.
even that guy, who's that guy who's on Vinyl?
Bobby Cannavale.
Bobby Cannavale.
Absolutely.
Oh, he's very hot. You don't
he's
find him?
He's not hot.
Are you
that's
joking
not.
Me?
I would literally cut off my foot
to fuck
it.
Him.
Okay, Bobby, if you're listening, we have a challenge.
I'll take off my foot for you.
Fine.
My foot, get out of here.
Ooh.
I fuck Bobby Cannavale.
I'm sorry, I don't know what this is.
Bobby, you can give Matt Rogers gangrene of the foot, and he'll chop it right off, and you get to fuck him.
Isn't that cool? A footless Matt Rogers.
Smart, beautiful, without a foot.
Without a foot.
You can pick which one.
So giving.
But no, I mean, she just fucked the hottest guys on the show, but I do think that the best looking guy on the show, and honestly, the most attractive guy, the most one I was
Steve.
Steve.
Yep.
Steve could
love
get
Steve.
It.
Steve his arms.
Could get it.
Steve's arms and his butt.
He had a great butt.
And his like
personality.
Stupid was so
little
relaxed.
Voice. I know. God, Miranda was such a. She was the worst.
No, you watch it now, and Miranda is the only relatable one.
Yeah, but no, there were moments on the show where she was truly. She did things because she was cruel. Like in the movie when she.
No, because in the movie.
When she fucked things up for Carrie.
Because Steve showed up at the dinner and Miranda got very upset, and then she turned to Big and she goes, "Don't ever get married." Like, that was how she was feeling. It was a beautiful plot device. It was wonderful.
But she knew that Carrie and Big were headed in that direction. So what? You're thinking about yourself to that extent where you're actually going to turn to the committed partner of your best friend and say, "Don't ever get married. You're that selfish."
I loved that.
I'm sorry, for an intelligent woman like Miranda to do that, you know, it was a little calculated.
It was such good conflict for the movie.
Sure, but that doesn't mean she's a good person.
Also, that movie was garbage.
Oh my god, the first movie is excellent. The second movie is trash.
I mean, make no mistake.
Sam thinks the opposite. Sam thinks the first movie is trash, and he loves the second.
The
movie.
The second movie is like a piece that needs to be studied. There is so much wrong with it. It is like.
And let me say,
I could not believe it. I was jarred. Like, it couldn't have been like, truly, if they had given all the women superpowers, it would have made more sense than this movie. Like,
but yet again, Samantha fucks the two hottest guys she's ever fucked
in the movie.
In that movie.
In the second movie.
Wait,
the best man at the wedding in the beginning.
Sure, okay. I don't really.
Oh
him.
My god, go look that up on YouTube, honey.
And then, and then
Rickard Spurt, Dick Spurt at the end.
That
honestly,
guy was really hot.
So hot. Like, you got a joke.
Hotter than Smith?
I didn't. Okay. Smith had such a bozo face.
He did.
Oh, he
looked, no, like, Smith's hot. You, come on.
He looked good in the show, but in something happened in that first movie where he looked so stupid.
He, like, grew it was a beard, like, right?
The cameras were better and you could see the details. And it was like, oh no, this is why you're in TV, baby.
Oh my God, wow.
We saw Gilles Marini's dick in the first movie.
Who's Gilles Marini?
The Italian guy that, like, next Samantha door. Beach is next to. Oh,
yes. Sure.
And you see his, like, cock, balls, and butt.
I loved the first movie, because Samantha didn't fuck that guy, and she was really close to. And then, like, it was a nice, satisfying, like, bait and switch of, like, no, she's committed to Smith, and she's not going to fuck him. I liked that. The movie was great.
Will there be a third movie? I mean, there's got to be, right?
There's got to be.
I think there has to be.
I mean, they need to write the
even if it happens when they're 70 years old.
Yeah, it'll be great.
It'll be great. I mean, SJP, I'm excited for this divorce show on HBO.
It looks interesting. I'm down for SJP. I think she's really good. I get into arguments with people all the time about whether or not she's talented, and I'm like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, she's great.
She's been on Broadway. She's been on TV. She's been in film. She nails it every time.
She's also, like, someone you watch on television, and you're not once thinking, like, oh, she's acting. Like, even if people say, like, she does her Sarah Jessica Parker thing, yeah, but it's also super grounded and, like, really interesting and fun to watch.
It's compelling.
So, like, what's the problem? It's like Lena Dunham. Like, you have a problem with Lena Dunham on Girls. Like,
exactly.
If you do, like, then don't watch Girls at all.
There you go. Okay, so we're talking about Sex and the City. The loose theme of this episode, I think we went over, was
Sex the City and Sex and the City.
So this is fun. Let's talk about Sex and the City for us. Like, I'm just going to talk about, like, well, no, I was going to be tempted to talk about, like, good lays, but maybe that's too much.
Good lays.
Can we get a good lays, like, in the city? Do you guys put drops in your show? Because this would be, like, a good, like, good, good, good lays.
Good, 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 good lays.
Good, 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 good lays. This might be a first. We don't do drops, but this is a perfect
I think this, if we're having a section called good lays, we need that. And then a couple
okay,
of,
okay,
like,
wait. We have to, ready? Pause and leave space for Joe to put the drop later.
Okay, this is.
Good lay.
All right, good lay.
Yes, got it. Amazing. There's the drop.
Let's see. I moved here in 2008.
How soon after that did you get your good lay?
How were the lays in 2008?
The lays in 2008 and 2008. I'm sorry.
With men.
I was, like, really just, like, casting a wide net. Mm-hmm. But all in the neighborhood, all in the East Village where I was living at the time, some guy down the street who, like, this is my first month in New York, and I was, like, just one of those, like, UCB obsessed, like, fucking nerds. And then he was talking about how he, like, had
It was a UCB guy?
It was a Second City guy.
He was, like,
a little bit, I think you would have liked him, Sam.
Which one? Do you remember his name?
No. Okay. And I'm kind of, like.
First and last names.
I'm anticipating, like, running into him again. And, like, I forget what he looks like, but he was kind of a bear.
I hooked up with a Second City bear.
Wait.
Was it, are we?
No.
Mouth it to each other over the mic.
I don't remember his name.
Go.
I'll find a pic.
Okay, find a pic. So anyway, so that was my first month, mind you. And he was telling me about how you, like, was taught by Del Close on all this bullshit. He was, like, in the same class as Tina Fey and Amy Poehler and all this stuff. And I was like, wow, cool. I was like, that was when I was like, talent can be sexually transmitted. And then there was another guy down the street on Houston and First who I would go to his apartment to. He had a live-in girlfriend, but it was an open relationship. They were both bisexual. Nice. I would just go to his place just hot. To, like, there was nothing penetrative, but it was just for us to be naked and play, and it was fun.
Well, that's literally, like, what entirely college was.
Yeah, and that's what college was for me. And now I'm, like, I'm in a dry spell again. But that's me in Sex and the City.
Well, I don't know. I was straight my whole first year of college, mm-hmm. or, like, still saying I was straight. So there was no action there. And then, like, the next 3 years, you do your, like, stupid, like,
slutty phase,
slutty, gay, like, hooking up. Nothing's, like, obviously a big deal, but, like, you hook up with people and, like, find out what that is. But that, I think, happened. Yeah, that was, like, college for me. It was not high school. I was so jealous of all my friends that got to have sex in high school. Because I was like, oh, man, they're, like, figuring it out. They're getting a jump start on what sex is. And I know it's probably good.
But it, no way was it good.
Well, because, like, you're at your horniest in high school and college, I think, and, like, you want to, like, at least try that out.
Sure. Like, but you're finding your footing.
Yeah. But, I mean.
And then.
19, I lost my virginity.
That's nice. Okay, that's nice. Looks like nice and late. And then, what was, like, the period leading up to your now beautiful relationship with your boyfriend, Henry?
What was the period?
What was the period leading up to it? Like, were you, like, seeing a lot of people?
No, not really at all.
Great.
So, like, the last, like, year before I was in a relationship, I really just kind of stopped caring about that kind of thing. I think right after college, I went on a lot of, like, Tinder dates and a lot of OkCupid dates. And honestly, when I really got into that stuff, it really was just a hookup at that point. Like, I didn't have Grindr. Mm-hmm. I never had Grindr. I never used Grindr.
Mm. Okay, get him a fucking medal, Jesus.
No, but like, it was only because
get
I was like
fucking high.
It was only because I was like, I mean, I might as well have been because I was just hooking up with everyone I saw on OkCupid and Tinder. Like, it was not about getting to know anybody.
But you know what you did in college that I didn't do? You hooked up with like people our age. At NYU, I was mm-hmm. venturing outside because none of my classmates wanted to hook up with me.
Yeah, I conversely like ruined a lot of relationships.
Whatever.
Like, I remember just being, oh man, that was so annoying. Yeah, there was like a lot of, it was NYU and it was like
NYU.
Tish at NYU and like it was all so small and everyone was all up in each other's business. And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
when you get disappointed. For the first time, like that was my intro to like being in a gay community or like kind of a subsect of a gay community. Sam is showing the picture of the person.
This guy's a real bear.
It's not him. Same, He's a real bear. So this guy that I was hooking up with was less of a bear.
Oh, okay.
Like, but was a little bit more... Just like he was older than that.
Okay.
He looks young.
Just to finish what my thought was, it's just like the first time you get into a community and you're like, oh shit, it's incestuous. That sucks.
Yeah. But now you know.
And
you know
just,
how to navigate.
And then you just say, hey, life's a farce, it's Trump's America, who cares? Fuck each other.
Wow, so political.
That, honestly, I have such like a burn the world mentality now on people fucking. It's just like, yeah, fuck each other.
Trump's America.
You're a human being.
Yeah,
go for it.
Go for it.
Sam, walk us through.
Well, let's see. I have a very similar tale to Matt Rogers. as he's like so bored.
No.
I didn't come out until my second year of college.
Yeah.
But then immediately after coming out, had sex with a woman.
Wow. Why?
Because you really wanted to, or because you were like, let me bring it back.
It was like a mistake. It was like weird. And I don't know what happened. It was like college drunkenness. Yeah. That was like very confusing.
And it was sex.
It was sex.
Wow.
And it was
cool.
Like very cool.
Did you genuinely enjoy it?
Yeah,
wow.
I did.
That's cool. So funny. I'm what they call a gold star gay. Never, I think, seen a pussy live.
Wow.
Pussy live.
I never interacted with the vagina in that way.
Sure.
It
but
was
you
fine.
How many times?
One and a half.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
But that's so interesting that right after you came out.
It was very weird. Because I feel like I was like, we were all like whatever. Like, we're just all making out and it's so
yes.
fun and
yes.
beautiful.
Yep.
But then, like, you get turned on at some point and you're like, oh, it's not making out anymore. Like, it's not funny and silly.
Yeah.
Like, we're going upstairs.
Wow.
And we were like, it was very weird.
You got swept up in it.
I got swept
and
up
also,
in it.
And also, I actually think this happened to me the same exact way. Maybe I didn't have sex with these girls I was friends with, but the first people that I told I felt the most comfortable with. And then you do start making out with them when you get drunk and like feeling them up and like everything's happening, and then all of a sudden you're like, wow, this has gone really far. I remember post saying I was gay to these girls, like I hooked up with them a lot and they gave me huge hickeys on my neck. I had to wear a turtleneck to class. Like, it was crazy, and everyone was like, well, that kid's getting laid. I'm like, no, I'm just like gay and getting kind of taken advantage of.
Wow.
That's weird.
That's hot.
Yeah, that is hot.
But see, here's the thing.
I'm meat.
I could see myself getting swept up to the point, all the way up to putting my dick in their vagina. Because at that point, I'm like, no, I can't do that.
No.
Right?
Yeah, no, I can't imagine it.
But okay.
I can't imagine having sex with a woman.
Would you still have sex with a woman, Sam?
I'm not like 100% opposed.
Yeah.
Like, if I don't see what situation it would, like, where that would pop up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, I'm not like, that's disgusting.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm just like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That can be fun.
Sure. That's how my boyfriend is. He's like a 4 on the Kinsey scale.
He's a 4. That's pretty. That's like middle of the
road. Okay with me saying that. Wow. He's told me that he's attracted to women before, and I'm like, wow. And
even
actually,
recently,
Yeah. Okay. Like, not recently, but, like, you know, he's mentioned that, like, it's a thing. Like, he's not, like,
holistically.
It's not, like, 100%, completely 100% only attracted to men like the way I am. Like, it's, for me, it's just, yeah, I'm pretty sure I like boys.
Yeah. But what you're going to say, I'm sorry, I cut you off. You were going to say something else.
About what?
About Kinsey 4.
No. That he's a Kinsey 4. I mean, I think that he's mentioned women to me that he's attracted to.
Oh,
and I'll just, like, I'll try to wrap my brain around it just because it's not my experience, but that's how you know. And that's why I said before about, like, yeah, maybe some straight dudes want a Vogue and others don't. Like, I really just believe that hopefully one day we get to a point where it's like, yeah, everyone can do whatever the fuck they want and not have to put this, like, number on the Kinsey scale on. Sure. I guess, yeah, it is interesting, but I mean, just fucking live your life.
So Matt and I are sixes. Sam, you're maybe a five.
Six. I'll give it a five.
Wow. Cool. Love
That's
it.
Cool.
Sam, my dick rise a little bit for a girl.
Just a little.
Okay, but Sex in the City. You moved, what, 2011, 2012?
I moved 2011. Mm-hmm. And it had a slow uptake. My approach was scruff and like OkCupid dates. OkCupid. That, like, I knew weren't going to go anywhere. Like, it was like.
But it was fine for the physicality.
For sure.
Right.
Like, the dates were more daring than the hookups because I was like, I'm in public with a man.
We're hanging
this
out.
This is terrifying.
It's like, is he going to kiss me at the end of the day? Do I kiss him?
Like,
what will people think?
Kiss outside?
Yeah. And you're like, oh, God. But that is, like, a hot part of it.
It's fun.
Hot.
It's fun and new at that age.
Because I went to college in Virginia, which is a little more conservative than
a little bit more red of a red state, honey. A little bit bitchy. A
lot of PlayStation players in Virginia.
Oh. Absolutely. Shaped them.
Yeah.
No, I get it.
And so I was like, I, like, came out to my friends, but I was
UVA,
like.
UVA, right?
Yeah. But I was still like. Like, I'm still hidden.
Yes.
It was I had a soft opening.
Soft opening.
Literally.
Soft launch.
Soft launch.
Oh, remind me to talk about Universal Studios news later.
Okay.
I always have to give some because I have new
You
tea.
Need new tea? Wow.
That's very interesting. Yeah, I mean, man.
Slow up.
I just feel like the first time I got a taste of, like, what it was like to hook up with a boy, I was like, oh, no, this is the shit.
It's the best.
This
sure.
is it.
Well, yeah. And then I lived in Chicago in the summers. My parents lived there.
Mm-hmm.
So I just go to gay bars as soon as I turn 21. Ugh. And that's when that was my real opening.
Yeah.
I feel like Sam and I caught each other at a time when.
When you were both really horny.
No, I knew
Sam. And the lighting was just right.
Here's the thing. I've seen Sam. Sam and I have seen each other just fucking wasted.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'll ever get that drunk again in my life.
Okay, that makes one of us.
Hallelujah.
But I've seen Sam, and, like, Sam and I have gone to these gay bars in Chicago where it was just, like, the funnest time ever. And I wasn't even, like, hooking up with people. I was just, like, a gay awakening. And Sam was, like, a steward in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Sam.
Oh, thank you, Bowen.
But now you're in your own committed relationship.
I am.
Lovely.
With a man named Misha.
Misha. Lovely.
I love Misha.
I love Mish.
Love Mish.
He's
Mish
a lovely dude. Person.
Such He's a sweet boy.
So great.
Yeah.
Love him.
We met at Metropolitan Bar as a hookup.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
It was like a setup to be a hookup.
Well,
thing.
We just, like, drunkenly. It was like a one night stand. Like, we hit each other beforehand, Got but it was it. Like.
But that's
come
the dream.
Home with me. Yeah,
that's like the dream. Is like, oh god, like, I would die to meet someone not through an app and be like,
that's not. It's like, I mean, that's just how you meet people. That's
I know
just what it is.
I'm not. I'm kind of stigmatizing it, but, like, it's refreshing when it's not, when it's still, like, done.
You know what's pretty liberating though, Bowen? Like, just fucking deleting all the apps.
Oh,
like,
I know.
And then just being like, fuck it. I mean, that's. I think that's the place I was in when I was like, and then I was in, and then all of a sudden I met Henry just from life.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, I had deleted, not like scruff. I needed it.
Yeah, I mean, not scruff.
But I had stopped, like, trying to go on dates.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, that's not the way for me. Like,
yeah. No, I mean, dates are, they're also so, they can be so bad.
Such a
bad.
Waste of time.
So oh my gosh. I'll just say this. I went on a date, or a few dates, with someone who's now on a really popular television show.
Okay, and Dish.
First and last name.
Okay.
No, I don't know. I'm nervous to say.
Okay, at least pull up a pic on your phone.
They're not going to listen.
Tag them.
I'm nervous to say
mouth it.
I just literally whispered it into the. I hooked up with a guy that's on Unreal now.
Cool. What's Unreal?
It's that new Lifetime show.
You'll know who it is when you watch it.
I cannot wait.
It's not even new. It's really good.
So basically, but it was bad. It was the worst date.
Oh yeah.
Like it was like, but the way people act, I think when they know they're on a date, that actually was like one of the worst dates ever.
Oh yeah, dates suck. You know what's best? You just hook up with them first.
I hated it. Yeah.
You both did this with your boys, is that you hooked up with them, and then it sort of evolved from there.
We were friends, and then like
you guys never went on a date like before.
No, a hookup. Because yeah. I only thought that he was single 10 minutes before.
Right, I told you.
I hope he's not furious that I'm talking about this.
Whatever.
I don't think he is.
Tag him.
Hey, Hen, we love you.
First and last name.
First and last name.
Guys, really quickly, Sam is sort of developing a podcast
idea.
Yeah,
if there's any like big budget podcast network out there that wants a hot idea, this is
potentially destructive.
I love this idea. Say it.
Okay.
Speak it into existence.
I love it too. I'm so nervous, but go, Sam.
So, podcast coming soon, one can assume, is called Who Do You Hate? And you just shit talk people that are real and that you hate on the podcast using first and last names.
Wow.
And that's
in your personal life or like in public life,
both, all lives. Like I think where it's most successful where if it's like very personal and it's like people that most people don't know, but like
but you're able to speak it so vividly that like we feel like we do know.
Yeah. Doesn't this make you so nervous?
But like,
no, it doesn't.
Yeah, and if it's like up for like,
makes me excited only
very short period of time and then gone forever.
No, I think you got to stand by it.
I mean,
I think you got to stand by. I think you got to burn the world.
Yeah, I think it's a very burn the world type thing because it's like it's. I don't know if you guys had Juicy Campus at your school,
no.
And it just like it blew
up
so quickly.
Did they target you?
I was under the radar.
So did me too. I didn't get targeted.
It was basically like every other thread was like closeted gays, list them.
Yeah, it was so fucked up.
It was
so fucked up. That's how you know the world's a bad place for bad people.
It was so evil, but it was talked about so much, and I feel like we can recreate that buzz.
Okay, it's very buzzworthy, but look, Sam, I feel like that's... God. Do you think that that's just an evolved form of cyberbullying in a way?
I think there... yes. Like, theoretically, the people that are shit-talked, like, there needs to be a system where it's like, the people that are shit-talked, then it means they're invited to the next episode.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love that.
So that it's like, they can then speak their piece and say who they fucking hate.
Ooh.
Or what about this? What if it's like kind of like a Joe Schmo type situation where it's like someone and then they call a person to be on a podcast with them and it's like it's gonna be about like it's gonna be like a game show and then they find out that it's a podcast called I Hate You and it's you telling them how much you hate them.
No way.
Well, I think it would also make you realize that you don't actually hate anyone that much.
But
like,
then
I think it would like cleanse you a little.
Oh, sure. You just gotta get it
like,
out there.
I don't actually like that was so petty to be like published live, whatever. Like that doesn't need to be out there.
I think
there could be like positiveness to come out of it.
Maybe you're onto something.
I can't believe you mentioned Juicy Campus. That was such a blast from the past. Honestly, I was now I'm friends with people that got it so bad on Juicy Campus, and that must have been so painful. I remember I used to run to my computer and check that website to make sure I wasn't on it.
Was this when we were in high school or college?
College. First year of college.
I did it to see like. To like see who to prey upon, like who's gay. Like I was like, this rules.
Who's bullying? Can I manipulate it to fucking?
Yeah, like which like frat bros are closeted and gay? Like that sounds incredible. I'm gonna Facebook friend this entire list.
Have you ever hooked up with a straight guy?
Yes.
Oh, I wish I had.
Sam. Yeah, that's the dream.
Ugh. Oh my god.
But you don't look happy about it.
I've had like. I can be a bit of a deviant. When you're like ruining someone's life, it's like this is kind of fun.
Oh my god.
Sam is the king of beef. I'll say it. I mean, it's been said, but Sam.
It's true. Sam Tag does start some beef.
This is the new me.
This is the new you.
It's villainous.
But you work with it. You use you own it.
I gotta go dark and then I'll go light again next year. You know
what? You have to break yourself completely down so you can put yourself back up.
Well, Sam says that this podcast would be a huge hit because of Donald Trump's rise. He's saying that's proof that people love shit
talking. Sam Taggart is a Trump voter.
Sam Taggart's a PlayStation.
I play PlayStation. What?
Yeah, it's so real. I love that parallel.
It's like Trump's rise is proof.
All he does is public shit talk, and so people publish all of it. They like eat it up. It's so fun to hear.
Yeah. Before we move on to the end of our episode, I do want to ask one basic ass question. Mm. And because it's Sex the City and Sex in the City, let's just say, Sam, who do you identify with? Which other ladies are you?
Oh my God.
This is, and you're allowed to say you're a fusion.
It's just like, honestly, I feel like I'm the weird hybrid between Samantha and Charlotte. I'm the in between, you know? Yeah,
I see that.
You 100%. Play Charlotte very well in Broad Gay, so I see that. And then you've got some Samantha in you.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like, Bowen. You've got the, oh. Yeah. I'm like 90% Miranda, 10% Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that checks out.
Or 20-80. 20-80. So 80-20.
Why do you think?
There's some naivete. There's some obliviousness. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I'm half the time I'm like that person who's just like, what's going on? What? I'm so out of the loop in that Charlotte way. And then the rest of the time I'm just Miranda. And then mm-hmm. I'm like neurotic and all of those trappings. What about you, Matt?
I do feel like a Carrie. Okay, which I know feels own obnoxious it. To say, no. But I understand what she does and why she does it a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, like, sometimes she knows, like I get the thing of, like, oh, I know this is wrong, like, but I do it anyway. Like, I think she's, like, a very kind of hard on her sleeve, like, passionate person, and I identify with that. I also think she kind of knows better every time she does something that's wrong. Yeah. And if I really think about all the kind of mistakes I've made in my life, it's been that. It's like, well, you knew that was stupid.
You're a Carrie.
And I just, like, get her. And less even, like, I know I'm a Carrie. I just don't necessarily see myself as a Samantha, a Miranda, or a Charlotte.
That's fair.
Sure. That checks out.
I'll give you that for sure. I don't think
it's... So, basically, it's a problematic and flawed question, and I'm glad that we exposed it.
That's smart.
Beautiful.
Okay. Can I just throw out there that I really think that you guys should consider doing the pilot of Desperate Housewives?
I would agree with... I like that a
I like
lot.
That. Or, like, a classic Grey's Anatomy up.
Yeah.
That too. But it's not as gay.
Okay, no. So here's, because I'm just going to say something that might cause some beef.
Ooh, oh, let wow. it out.
Well, because Sam Taggart's on the show, we're allowed to do that.
I'm not going
to
say we started this trend, I'll say. I'm not going to say.
Name names.
Oh my God, I know where this is going, bitch.
I'm saying there's this, and I'm not saying we started this, but there's been this uptick in like these like reenactment shows and reinterpretation shows, and Sam has pointed this out to me as well.
I'm sure he has.
but I think what makes Broad Gay special is that it's like the subject matter that we're parodying is a comment on the casting decision, is that it's a reimagining of Sex and the City with gay men, and Sex and the City is a show that sort of celebrates and also like in some ways undercuts gay culture, right? I would say that's fair to say.
Yeah, our show's different because it like has a point of view.
Wow. So anyway, so a lot of times, so Sam and I have had this discussion where we're like what if we were to do other shows, what would we do? And then Sam is like, well, and Sam is sort of rightfully resistant to when we think of other shows, because he's like, well, no, Sex and the City is a gay show. If you name all these other shows, like Golden Girls comes close, Desperate Housewives comes close, but like even I would say Grey's Anatomy is a departure because it's not like a gay show. Mm-hmm. It's very much like a 2006 show.
You know what also is pretty viable? I think doing like a full ass movie. Crossroads.
Crossroads. Or, I've had some other ones sort of in the can.
Or something stupid like that. You know?
I also.
Or Clueless.
Or Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
I would love.
Yeah.
I
that would be
I
fine.
Just want to throw my hat I in the ring for Blake Lively if that happens.
I would be America Ferrera 100%.
You would be Alexis Bledel.
For sure.
You definitely
very
would.
Checks out.
Who's the other one?
Amber Tamblyn.
Oh, fucking Amber Tamblyn.
I would be Amber Tamblyn.
That's Julio.
That's
Julio Torres is Amber Tamblyn, and I'm saying it loud.
No,
and proud.
Amber Tamblyn is Max Witter, I want to say.
Oh, that's fun too.
Just like a, like a like a ugh, what?
All good. All good casting decisions.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep.
Wait, where was I right before that?
Just like we're naming other shows and media that could potentially
I forgot.
Okay. There's a lot.
Our show has a point of Barge has a point of view.
Sure.
Shots absolutely. Fired, you guys.
Shots
I don't know.
Fired. And with oh that, God. We're going to move on to our last segment, which is called I don't think so, honey. So basically, for those of you listening at home, on the subway, at work, on the subway, at work, on the subway, at home, on the subway. Sorry, hold on. I got a little carried away. Basically, we're going to take 60 seconds on the clock, and we're going to rail at something in culture, in life, that's pissing us off. And the more you can use the words, I don't think so, honey, the more you're driving your point home, and the more Bowen and I are entertained.
Yes.
And so let's put 60 on the clock. Bowen, do you want to go first?
I can go first. Do you have something?
I am pretty close to having something.
Does that mean you want to start?
You go first.
Okay. So you want to put 1 minute? I'm
putting 1 minute on the clock, and Bowen's I don't think so, honey, begins now.
I don't think so, honey. Southwest Airlines, bitch. I was supposed to get back into New York City on Sunday night. My flight was at 5:30. I was supposed to get in, touchdown at 8 o'clock. Guess what happened? I get to the airport. I sit on the Atlanta MARTA train system. I get there hours early just to be the responsible traveler that I am. I get there. They keep delaying the flight back by half hour increments until it's 9 o'clock at night. I'm still stuck in the airport. And then finally, because of stormy weather in New York, they cancel the flight. The earliest time they can get me back is Tuesday, this day, today, afternoon. Guess what, guys? I'm not saying, and I might not be at liberty to say this necessarily. I was supposed to shoot a scene on a show with a famed musical theater actress. Let's just say she is the foremost interpreter of Stephen Sondheim's works. Oh. She has red hair, very curly. She has a very nasally voice. And I was supposed to do a scene with her. And listen, I had to cancel I had to pull out of that shoot and call my manager on the verge of tears. And that's all because of Southwest Airlines' fault. I don't think so, honey, Southwest Airlines. I don't think
that's
so, honey.
One minute.
Ooh, I guess, sorry, I got a little incoherent towards the end because I was so mad and so worked up just reliving that.
That wasn't my problem with what you did.
What was your problem with it?
My problem with what you did was the lack of I don't think so, honeys.
Wow. Because I had to get a lot of exposition and information out there.
Do you want to know what my problem with it was?
What?
That you didn't list first and last names.
Guys.
I will. Bernadette Peters.
I was supposed to do a scene with Bernadette Peters. And then I had to fucking cancel it. I felt like a fucking idiot. I was like, I could have told my kids about this. You know what I'm saying?
You can still tell your kids about it.
Ugh. I mean,
you booked it, and that's what's important.
That's, I mean, whatever. I was surprisingly zen about it. And I was like, you know what? I left the airport. I was like, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It just wasn't meant to be.
All right, I have one.
All right, here we go. Putting 60 seconds on the clock and go.
I don't think so, honey. Flash flood warnings on my goddamn phone. I don't want to hear it. If you like, unless it's a serious, serious problem, I don't want to see the words flash and flood. Okay? If I'm walking outside, I can still walk around. I don't want to have been worried. I don't think so, honey. I don't own galoshes. I'm not going to get them. Because I know that guess what? Every time I get a text that says flash flood warning, it's going to be a ruse. I've never seen a flash flood in my life. As far as I'm concerned, they don't even exist. I'm a flash flood truther. I get a goddamn buzz on my phone, and I think it's a text, and it says flash flood. I'll be sick to my stomach. I don't think so, honey. This weekend, I got 2 or 3 texts about a flash flood. And yet, I still see the ground. So I don't think so, honey, texter, whoever you are. Whoever decides the government, maybe life's a farce. Follow the money. I don't think so, honey.
Okay, that was 1 minute.
Oh, my
God. You lost some steam there, man.
No, did I lose steam or was I just confidently driving home a point?
I mean, you made your point and then you were sort of, at sea, I was going to say. You know what? I'll tell you something, bitch. You can turn those notifications off and I'll show you how.
Okay.
Well, if it's a real emergency, I want to know about it.
Well, then you can't have it both ways.
I can have it both ways because I just want them to know if it's a real emergency or not. When I get an emergency text and my phone makes a noise it's never made before and I look down, it says flash flood. I know it's not going to come to fruition.
Bitch, then you need to have other sources and don't rely on that text message, honey.
Wow. Sam.
I am terrified.
It is time for Sam's I Don't Think So, Honey. 1 minute is on the clock starting now.
Okay, I Don't Think So, Honey, Las Culturistas podcast, not talking about the fucking new Instagram stories. Like, you guys can see yourselves, people that are, like, in touch, and it's like something literally was released today. And it's like people are depending on you for fucking like advice in culture of the contemporary world, and here you don't even mention maybe the biggest thing that happened in all of today. It's unbelievable, and I feel like you guys should take off your fucking silly ass hats. Let's face the facts. If you had your finger even near the pulse, you would be vibrating. And yet, you are silent. You are not giving Instagram stories a voice. You are not culturistas at all. You're just guys in hats.
1 minute.
Oh my God, that is unprecedented.
Unprecedented. He melted us into whimpering little
masses.
Oh my God. A first time someone has truly told us what's what.
We were the I Don't Think So, Honeys. We were the culture being under attack.
Wow. Honestly, I respect you.
Oh my God, Sam, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me.
Maybe this, honestly, this is proof positive that Who Do You Hate?
That was the culture of the week.
But I'm saying, like, that is what Who Do You Hate would be. It's like,
you know,
let
what?
Me fucking school you, bitch, on what you're doing wrong. I love it.
I love it. You know what? If that was the trailer for the show, I think we need to see a spinoff. I'm looking my producer Joe dead in his eyes.
Joe, I think.
Joe, where are you on the Kinsey scale?
10's the most gay, 1's the least.
6
gay.
Is the most gay.
Oh, sorry. 3.5.
Oh, okay. Well, I like it.
Oh my God! Yeah. Let's talk.
I did not know.
Thank you for asking that, Matt.
That's what I'm saying. We need to burn the... I want to finish the podcast with this. Burn the world. Everyone's gay.
Everyone's gay. Joe, I think we should greenlight Who Do You Hate?
Who Do You Hate?
It's
done.
I love it. I think we're going to skip Culture of the Week this week.
We're going to skip it,
Let's
bitch.
Skip it. Ugh. Okay.
But wait, this is a full-ass episode.
Can you really quickly sum up your Universal news or news?
Yes. I know that we all live... We all listen to the podcast for my Universal news and updates. So Universal Studios Florida Islands of Adventure has opened Skull Mountain Reign of Kong, and the reviews are in, and it's an immersive experience.
Okay.
The ride is a 360 covered 3D experience. You journey through the tomb of Skull Island.
Yes.
And it ends the ride. You could, like, suffice it to say, there's about five, six minutes of like good, solid, real, immersive 3D thrilling action.
And then it
ends. And then at the end, there is the largest animatronic ever of King Kong. And I did get a little spoiler. I looked online and it looks pretty fucking fierce.
Wow.
So that is brand new news. And Incredible Hulk Coaster is going to be open again soon.
Wow. A glorious return.
And it's been revamped and made even better.
My first roller coaster. And I threw up.
You threw up after Hulk?
Yeah, absolutely. I was 9 years old.
Wow. You ever thrown up on a coaster, Sam?
Never once.
Do you like coasters?
I love them.
Guys, thank you so much for being here and listening to us on Los Culturistas. We love you, Sam Taggart. Where can they follow you on the social media?
Follow me on Twitter at Sam T. Taggart, I believe.
Okay, cool.
And then on Instagram at Sam Taggart.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Okay.
And this has been Las Culturistas, Boobas, and that's Bowen Yang.
Booba? That's me, Bowen Yang, Mooma.
Say who I am.
This is Matt Rogers.
Bye, we're done.
Bye.
My playboy and your playboy sitting by the fire. My playboy to your playboy, I'm gonna set your play on fire. You're talking about here now, here now. Aiko, Andy, Shagamofina, Anani, Shagamofina.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.